More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, seeing red. Is anger getting the best of you? Tired of dealing with the angry people in your life? But we're going to help you find peaceful solutions. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And are you seeing red? We're talking about anger today on More to Life and asking you to call up and share at 877-573-7825. How is anger complicating your life? Are there particular people or situations that are bringing you to your boiling point? Maybe other people, whether it's your kids, your spouse, a family member, a friend, are acting in ways that are causing you to lash out or lose your temper in spite of yourself. Or maybe you're in a relationship with someone who takes their anger out on you and you're not sure how to handle it. Well, if anger, yours or others, is making you see red, give us a call and let us help you find peaceful ways to respond to those challenges. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
I think that this time of the year is a time of the year that most people don't think about as being more stressful. You know, when we come into, say, Thanksgiving or the Christmas holidays, there's a public acknowledgement of the fact that everything is ramped up. Everything is, you know, about making that event happen, and then the extra, you know, school things and on and on and on. This time of year, it's not talked about publicly. Like, Easter is kind of a hush-hush kind of a thing, right? And we're moving into the week before Easter, and I am seeing, even on the Catholic HOM, the Catholic Home app, discussions of people saying, hey, can you pray for me because I'm really shorting out this week? Everything at school is ramped up. The kids have a million other things. Now we have extra choir practices. And I've got to get everything ready for the family to come on Easter Sunday. And we've got extra this and that. And everything's kind of wearing folks out without any real support or discussion. It just kind of hits you. And when we as adults get pulled too thin by things and don't feel supported in it, that's when we can get really, really angry. That's when we can start snapping. That's when we begin to see everything that is unsupportive of us, or people are asking for one more thing, or they're as, yes, the injustice that it is, but we also might be getting angrier than usual. And that's an important thing to talk about as we talk about anger. Where is it really coming from? Is it the one particular incident that happened? Or is it the underlying factors? And if so, what are they really? Because we don't want to just talk about anger today. We want to help you heal from anger, yours or somebody else's, and heal those relationships so that you can feel peaceful inside yourself and peaceful with that person you need to be interacting with.
877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. You know, Christians, I think, in particular, have a complicated relationship with anger because we hear a lot about the sin of wrath or the sin of anger, and we feel guilty even being angry at all. But there's no cause to be feel guilty about our anger as long as it meets certain conditions. And we'll talk more about this. But you know, there's a difference between righteous anger and the sin of wrath. And basically, the short version, and I talk about this in my book, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. Anger, righteous anger, is a response to an injustice that is productive, proportionate, and appropriate. Whereas the sin of, and so in other words, if anger is helping to address the problem and heal the wound with a productive, appropriate, proportionate response, then that anger is righteous, and it's actually a virtue in some ways. The sin of wrath, on the other hand, is anger that is inappropriate, disproportionate, and unproductive. It's just gas that we pour on the fire to make it burn even harder and hotter and higher. And so that's the difference. You know, it's not anger. All anger is sinful. It's that anger that is expressed unproductively, inappropriately, and disproportionately, that's the sin of wrath, and that's what we've got to watch out for. But other kinds of anger can be really helpful. So let's unpack that today on More to Life. Is anger getting the best of you, or are you the recipient of somebody else's anger, and you're not sure how to respond? Let's talk it out and have a healthier relationship with anger and find more peaceful ways to respond to it. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And for folks who aren't aware of what that is, St. John Paul, when he was the Pope, gave a series of reflections that looked at creation, salvation history, the Gospels, through a lens that allowed us to see how those things reveal God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
The theology of the body reminds us that the world is not what it was created to be, but as Christians, we are called to cooperate with the grace to make it better. In order to do that, we need to be able to recognize when things are not as they are meant to be. Anger, as you were saying, Greg, is an emotion that helps us recognize injustice. Unfortunately, research shows us that anger is a poor motivator for action. In order to be effective, we need to remember that anger isn't so much a call to action as a call to prayer. Without prayer, anger can cause us to feel stuck, powerless, and perpetually outraged with no solution in sight.
Well, so the theology of the body also reminds us that God created our bodies, and our emotions are part of our bodies, to work for our good. And when it's united with God's grace, rather than being fuel that adds to the fire, anger can be a powerful tool for promoting healing. But here's the thing. You know, because sin has separated us from God, we've got to make a point of bringing things like anger back to Him so He can teach us how to use it appropriately. So when something upsets us, instead of giving in to outrage, you know, we need to bring our anger to God and ask Him, you know, Lord, help me to identify the actual problem, because we're not always good at that. Gather the resources you've given me and make a plan for how I can glorify you in my response, you know, by working for the good of the people involved in this situation, by being my best self and inviting the people around me to be their best selves as well. And the better we can be about bringing our anger to prayer and managing that anger in a prayerful way, using this sort of formula that I laid out, the more we can feel competent and confident and grace-filled in the presence of those situations and people that get under our skin. So let's talk about managing anger more effectively, whether it's your anger or the anger of someone you're in a relationship with who's taken it out on you. We want to help you find peaceful solutions to the anger that is complicating your life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And I was talking about, you know, that when we get stressed out, particularly at a time when we don't feel particularly supported, like right now where everybody's going, oh my gosh, I've got to get everything ready for Easter, we can get reactive. We can get angry at the littlest things. Here's another point, though, for all of us as Christians. When we are in Lent, we often say, well, I'll just offer it up. I won't be angry. I'll just, you know, carry this cross. It's fine. No. The grace of the Lenten and Easter season is to bring healing. It's not to ignore injustice. It's not to ignore and just make something spiritual out of an injustice. It's the grace to actually address it and in a way that's powerful.
And anger facilitates that process.
Exactly.
If we bring it to prayer.
If.
And it leads to a productive, appropriate, and proportionate response. Easier said than done, though. So let's bring our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord, we bring to you all those people and situations that provoke us to anger, and those times when we are the objects of other people's anger. Lord, we have a complicated relationship with anger, and we don't want to let it rule our lives and our responses, and yet there's so much that's wrong. And when we see it, we often get upset. Help us to respond to our anger in ways that glorify you, in ways that lead to appropriate, productive, and proportionate responses to the injustices and offenses and other problems that we perceive in our lives and relationships. Help us to respond to those people and situations that provoke us to anger in ways that lead to healing, in ways that help us to identify the wound, to gather the resources you've given us, and make a plan for being our best, inviting others to be their best, and glorifying you as we seek to respond to those injustices that provoke our anger in the first place. Give us the wisdom, the patience, the understanding, and the fortitude we need to handle anger as the gift that it's meant to be. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Seeing Red, as we talk about anger. Is anger getting the best of you? Or are you tired of dealing with a particular angry person in your life? We want to help you find peaceful solutions either way. If anger is complicating your life in some way, give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Andrea, who's listening to EWTN Radio in South Carolina on the EWTN app.
Andrea, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you today?
Thank you so much, Dr. Greg and Lisa. I have actually two situations. So the first one is, I feel like it's almost comical, but it isn't. But I'm trying to see the humor in it all, but I know it's very, could be considered serious. So the first one is, we moved down to South Carolina, bought a brand new house, and it was supposed to be just my husband and I, but my daughter's a single mom. She and her son moved in with us.
And how old is she, Andrea?
She's 30.
Okay.
And she's a registered nurse. Mm-hmm. And we help her a lot with the little one, with the first grader.
I'm sure you do.
And yeah.
Her son
yes,
and her son is about 8 years old or so.
Seven.
Okay.
Yeah, he's seven. And you know, the home is big enough to accommodate multi generational living, and we're okay with it. The only, you know, until she decides to remarry and, have her own home. The only issue is, like, she brought home a puppy back in January, and we had no idea. We had talked about it and told her, like, we're not ready. The house is new. We're going to wait a little while. And just decided one day, oh, here's my puppy. Like, literally, we were on our way home from, like, the store, and she said, oh, I have a surprise for you. And I almost knew it. I was like, I think I know what mm-hmm. that surprise might be.
Okay.
You know it when it's your kids. And the way she said it. And we pulled up and there was the puppy. So it's been very, it's a puppy. It's a little dog. And I mean, it's going to be a big dog one in about year. It'll be a big dog.
Yeah, you don't have to explain this to me.
Yeah.
She brought home a puppy to your house
without asking
when
you
you're already helping her out all the time.
Yeah, so what? Where do things stand, and what kind? How can we help you at this point?
So, you know, it's a lot of it is we've asked her, hey, can you at least start training or get some kind of puppy training and work with the puppy because she's chewing everything up and she, you know, she says, yeah,
Andrea,
I will when I have time.
Can I interrupt you? You're helping housing and caring for the child of a 30-year-old professional woman. Why are you asking instead of saying, look, I need to see that this dog is enrolled in behavior classes by next Friday?
Or I'm taking it to the pound.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I mean, honestly, that's I know that you seem... I can tell from your call that you don't like setting limits, and because you're even just apologizing for yourself as you're describing the situation, and I really want to challenge you on this because you know, to work for your daughter's good, right, is to help her be more responsible, to help her to be less impulsive, to really help her make healthy, responsible decisions. And you know, she's living in your home, and so she had an obligation to talk to you about bringing this dog home in the first place. And if she didn't do that, at least she has an obligation to make sure that she's doing everything she needs to do to make sure this dog is not a nuisance to you and your home.
And honestly, Andrea, if you were any other landlord to her and you had a no pets policy and the pet came in, the tenant would be lucky to get 3 days to get rid of the dog. And then they'd be out on the street. Now, we're not saying get your daughter out on the street, but we're saying say to her, look, I need, you know, you can look at the schedule and say, I need you to have this dog in behavior training by Friday, by the Monday after Easter,
whatever it is. Reasonable.
You make it reasonable and not too squishy. And then let her know. And if it's not happening by then, the dog is going.
And beyond that, you know, whatever else you need her to do with the dog, I need to make sure that you're the one taking out the dog.
Mm-hmm.
I need to make sure you're one of them feeding the dog. I need to make sure that you're, you know, and
that you have the dog in a proper crate when you're not here and you're cleaning out the crate when you come back.
I did not ask for this dog. You did not ask me about bringing this dog home. This is your dog and it's your deal. And if you don't take care of your dog, I will take it to the pound.
This is a 30-year-old professional woman. She got herself through nursing school. That is no easy task. She can handle being a grown-up and taking care of the dog. This is much more about a respect issue between her and you than it is even about the dog, because you said, no, I can't do this.
It is a respect issue.
And she did an run around.
It is
you.
A respect issue, but it's also a responsibility and an impulsivity issue that
both.
Your daughter clearly has some issues with and needs your help to overcome. So, Andrea, it's not mean. It's appropriate. It's a necessary boundary, and it's good for her, even if she gets mad at you. So, I'm just going to challenge you to you know, kind of straighten up your spine a little bit there and be confident, and set that boundary with your daughter, because that's what needs to happen. Thanks so much for the call.
And I will have to say, you know, we are allowed to take care of ourselves. And it's very hard for moms to move from, this is my child and I don't want to break their heart because they love the dog, to this is a grown-up that I am living in almost a roommate situation with, and we can have boundaries and parameters.
Well, but it's not even just taking care of herself, right? I mean, this is if you love somebody,
you help them be
least,
their best selves.
Yeah, you know, you at least don't want to let them, you know, become people who take advantage of other people, who are irresponsible, who are impulsive, who are disrespectful. And really, Andrea's daughter is all of those things. I mean, I'm sure she's got plenty of good qualities to recommend her as well.
Sure.
But there's this impulsive, irresponsible, disrespectful kind of bent that she's got that needs to be challenged. And that's working for her good. Not just Andrea taking care of herself. It's working for the good of her daughter to set this boundary. You take care of the dog or the dog goes. You're a 30-year-old woman.
Yep.
All right. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about seeing red. Is anger getting the best of you? If you're tired of people or situations provoking you to anger, or having to deal with other people taking out their anger on you, let's talk about graceful ways to respond to those challenges. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute. He'll be sharing some insights to help us have a better relationship
with anger. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Are you looking for peace? Longing for joy? Want to meet the giver of all goodness? God is calling the laity to bring Ignatian prayer into the suffering world. Work for the new evangelization. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com. Order your free digital training and manual. Find true happiness and everlasting joy. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
And click on the red button today.
It's free. Approved by the USCCB.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Want a better family life this Lent? Join the Catholic Home 40 Days for Families Challenge.
Lent calls us to do more to share God's love with others, and there's no better place to start than our families, our domestic churches.
Go to CatholicHOM.com and use the promo code AVE for 50% off the first month of your premium membership to Catholic Home. That's Catholic H-O-M. It stands for Catholic Households on Mission.
Your premium membership to Catholic Home gives you access to all the personalized expert support and creative resources you need to celebrate a more loving, faithful Catholic family life.
Download the premium version of the Catholic HOM app today. Take up the Catholic Home 40 Days for Families Challenge and discover how God wants to transform your family life this Lent for good. Learn more at CatholicHOM.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Seeing Red, as we talk about anger, both our own anger and the times we are the objects of other people's anger. How do you deal with it gracefully? Well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue from the Theology of the Body Institute shares some insights on how Star Wars can teach Christians something about having a healthier relationship with our anger. I am all a flutter here, Bill. What's that?
Yeah, you didn't. And everyone thought you were going to say Theology of the Body.
But see, I threw him for a loop, just trying to see if people are paying attention.
Everybody's pulling over now, and they're turning on the radio a little louder. Okay,
I'm sure. Yeah, hit us with it, Bill.
Here at the Institute, we often teach through cultural lenses, and we find glimmers of the gospel in all things. So this is from The Phantom Menace, one of the Star Wars prequels, which, just for the record, I despised.
Okay, so it's not a recommendation of a movie, just an insight. So hit us with the insight.
They provoke you to anger, yeah.
So there's a scene where there's a really bad guy, and he's red, literally red. He's quite evil, and he's got his lightsaber, and there's two Jedi. Liam Neeson's playing one of them, and they're chasing him, and they're battling him. There's a lot of anger going on. There's a scene suddenly where these force fields appear, and they block the duel that was happening, the lightsaber duel. So the force fields go up, and both parties, the good and the evil, are separated. And I was always fascinated by this scene because the evil character, full of anger and rage, is pacing back and forth on the other side of the force field, like a lion in a cage. You just can't stop. But Liam Neeson's character, the good Jedi,
with a particular set of skills, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Sorry.
And he can't do anything at this moment. He gets down on his knees and closes his eyes. It's kind of an amazing channeling of his anger into a kind of prayerful position for our purposes, right? Throw a little holy water on it. The moment the force fields open, his eyes open, and he launches back into the battle. And honestly, I've always been struck by that. It's not that he wasn't angry at the injustice of this evil character. It's just he knew how to take a moment when he couldn't do anything else, and channel it into a kind of a focus or a prayer. There's my Star Wars reference.
Well, no, but it's a powerful illustration. And as you said, we can learn a lot of things through these kind of cultural touchstones. And that's exactly what we're talking about today on the program, you know, that responding to anger You know, anger is not a call to action. It's a call to prayer. And as you illustrated in your example there, you know, the character played by Liam Neeson, you know, took that time, that pause in the battle, to center himself. Now, you know, as Christians, we don't want to just center ourselves in ourselves. We want to center ourselves in God's grace.
Well, and we can't. Hmm. We can't do it without God's grace. And so often we say, I'll get in touch with God once I right the injustice myself by slicing people with my lightsaber. I will get in touch with God once I have proven to God and myself that I'm right. Or I'll remember to get in touch with God once I'm feeling a sense of contriteness after I've exploded with my anger. Mm. But your imagery is so important here. We have to stop and say to the Lord, Lord, I'm a mess here. Everything is dysregulated inside of me because I feel like there's an injustice happening. You went through the worst injustice possible. Mm. Show me what to do with this.
Amen. And there's a great word that John Paul II would actually use in his teaching at a moment like this. He uses it for the word eros, right? That sort of fire within us, that attraction to what's true, good, and beautiful. He says, sublimation is the key. To sublimate doesn't mean to annihilate or repress our emotions and feelings, but just like the root of sublimation is sublime, right? It's to kind of lift it up to God, to gift it to God and ask God to come into it. Sublimation is the way of stabilizing, finding that ground again and getting rooted in him and knowing what exactly to do.
Well, and rechanneling that energy then, through that grace, then rechanneling that energy in appropriate directions. Bill, thanks so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about the Theology of the Body Institute, where can they turn?
TOBinstitute.org. Thank you.
TOBinstitute.org. Check it out. And when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about the angry people and the people who provoke anger in you as we talk about dealing with anger gracefully. Today on More to Life, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Join the conversation. We'll be back in just a minute.
What was Jesus' chief mission on earth? It was, the Catholic Catechism tells us, to achieve his Father's will, God's plan of salvation in the fullness of time. Jesus did this by preaching the good news, the arrival of the reign of God, which had been promised through the ages in Scripture. To fulfill the Father's will, Jesus ushered in the kingdom of heaven on earth. The kingdom is visible in the word and worship of Christ and in his presence in the church. The seed and beginning of the kingdom are the little flock Jesus gathered around him, the disciples and the 12 apostles with Peter as the head. They are the foundation stones of the new Jerusalem. The church is born primarily as a result of Christ's total self-giving. The origin and growth of the church are symbolized by the blood and water that flowed from the crucified Christ's side. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Everything we say in the Mass is directly from Scripture. The opening prayers, the closing words from the deacon. Everything except the homily, which is an actual reflection or is supposed to be on the readings of the day. Everything is directly from Scripture. So when people say, well, I never heard the Bible at Mass, and that's why I left the Catholic Church, that's simply factually wrong. They either have not been to a Mass or are not willing to admit just how scripturally sound the Mass is. So I think it's very important to study Scripture. So important, and especially as it relates to the celebration of the Eucharist, right, which is a coming together of a celebration of Thanksgiving. That's what the word means. And there's all kinds of great things you can learn about our relationship with the Lord in the Eucharist and in the Mass by studying Scripture.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Men in general, and fathers in particular, put a tremendous amount of pressure on ourselves. We know that we're meant to lead our wife and children to God. However, many of us weren't raised in homes where this mission was modeled for us. We intuitively know we don't have the first idea how to become the men God wants us to be or how to lead our families to Christ, and it terrifies us. Unfortunately, we often try to cover our ignorance and the fear of our incompetence by setting ourselves up as angry, part-time pagan deities of our household, commanding obedience from everyone around us. But if we fall prey to this temptation, any rebellion we experience on the part of our kids isn't defiance against us. It's actually obedience to the impulse God has created in every one of his children to resist bowing down to any god but him. To learn more about commanding healthy authority as a father, check out my book, Be Dadattudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about anger on our show titled Seeing Red. Is anger getting the best of you? Are there particular people or situations that provoke you to anger, even in spite of yourself? Or are you tired of being the recipient of somebody else's anger and you're not sure how to respond to it? However, anger is complicating your life, we want to help you find peaceful, grace-filled solutions. The number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Nancy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia.
Nancy, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you today?
Yes, I am calling because I'm trying to figure out how to deal with my daughter, who is very angry with half of the family. The crowning blow was the storming of the Capitol. She just
This is an adult daughter. It's not a child.
This
right?
This is an adult daughter, and The sad thing is. She doesn't speak to her twin either. She doesn't speak to her father and I, and she does not speak to her sister, who is a very good Catholic.
Okay, so she doesn't speak to you, is what you're saying. Neither you or your husband.
Doesn't speak to my husband or I or her twin.
So how can we help you then
trying to figure out what I'm – my most worried concern about her is her soul because she doesn't believe in God either. Or she says she's not sure there is a God. And I worry for her two little girls that have not been baptized. She told me they have to make up their own minds. I said, well, then you have to offer them something to pick from. You can't just not
do Nancy, I'm right there with you. The problem is, you know, God works through our relationships. You know, if we want to change somebody's heart, our relationship has to be the kind of relationship that God can work with to change their heart. And right now you don't have a relationship with your daughter. So I want you to, you know, hold on to that concern that you have, but kind of contemplate it in your heart. Take a cue from our Blessed Mother and really pray about, you know, how can you build a relationship with your daughter that is deep enough to contain the conversations you want to have with her? Let me explain what I mean by that. We actually talk about this more in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. That's the title, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. In that book, I ask readers to think of relationships like a cup or a glass of some sort, okay? And conversations as the liquid you want to pour into that glass. Now, conversation about your daughter's soul, about faith, about all those big existential questions.
Or even the bigger questions that she's trying to cause drama around, which is political things over all that time. All of those things are too huge for the kind of relationship you have.
So when we try to talk about those things without having an appropriately deep relationship, it's like pouring a gallon of milk into a thimble, right? So without her talking to you, you've got maybe less than a thimble. Maybe you've got a bottle cap of a relationship, and you're trying to pour a gallon of milk into that bottle cap, and it's spilling all over the place, and it doesn't work. you know, and then what we do is we think, well, maybe my pouring technique was off, right? Maybe I need to pour a little slower. Oh, no, this time I'll pour faster. This time I'll spin around three times before I pour. And for some reason, that milk just ends up all over the counter and all over the floor because that bottle cap can't contain it.
Conversationally, that looks like, well, I'll just try to say it another way, or I'll just try to say it in a different setting, or I'll just try to allude to it instead of being direct, or I'm going to hit her over the head with it because maybe if I'm very forceful, it'll get through. It's still too much for the container.
You're presuming that because you're her mom, you should have the right to have these conversations with her. Unfortunately, that's not how things work, especially with adult children. And you have to make sure that your relationship is deep enough to contain the conversations you want to have. So you're focusing on evangelization, Nancy, you know, where you want to bring her to God and talk about the state of her soul and talk about, you know, her parenting decisions and all of that. You need to be focusing on pre-evangelization, which means instead of planting the seeds, you need to be tilling the soil, because there are a lot of rocks and weeds. Now I'm mixing my metaphors. There are a lot of rocks and weeds in that soil that you're trying to plant seeds in, right? And you need to get those out before you can have any of those other conversations. She's angry with you and your husband for something. It's not just the January 6th thing. There's other stuff going on in your family life, right? And she has to have those wounds addressed. You guys have to do a lot of healing before you're going to be able to have those conversations. I believe with all of my heart that God wants you to have those conversations. You know, families are meant to be schools of love and virtue. Families are meant to be places where you can have those discussions. Unfortunately, we have a tendency to not do the human formation work that's necessary to be able to have those spiritual conversations. And your daughter is screaming out with her life and with her choices and with her reactions to you that she's hurting. And I think it's important to go to her and say, listen, I understand that you're hurting, that you're angry, that maybe I haven't always been the best at listening to what you're trying to say to me. But I'd really like to start, because I'd like to have a better relationship with you, or some relationship with you. What is it that you're trying to tell me? I'm ready to hear it.
Now, if you can't walk onto her property and have that conversation, if she will not take a phone call from you, send it in a letter. Send it in an email. But let her know that you want to hear where all the anger is coming from. You want a real relationship with her, not just conversations about grand topics.
Or lectures. And look, when you do what I'm suggesting, it's going to feel awful, because she's going to unload a whole lot of stuff that you disagree with, a whole lot of stuff that you don't think is right, a whole lot of stuff that you think is distorted, or maybe even a lie. That's okay. You got to drain the pus out of the wound before you can heal the wound, right? And you're going to have to be that strong woman of God who can kind of take that hit before you can move forward and start to address the deeper wound. I'm going to really encourage you to check out Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters at CatholicCounselors.com, because it'll walk you step by step through how to do this. But it's going to have to start way, way back from where you want to start this conversation. I want you to... And I've worked successfully with clients, by the way, who have this issue with their adult kids. But you've got to start way back from where you want to and work on healing the wounds that prevent you from having any relationship at all, much less a relationship that's deep enough to contain the conversations that you want to have with her.
Nancy, I want you to be praying about this. I want you to be getting...
Excuse me. And not just praying for her to change.
Oh, yes. Great,
right?
Qualifier.
Praying that God would teach you how to respond to her in ways that would bring out the best in her.
Well, and also... I want you to really be reflecting on the virtue of humility. You know, when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew what he wanted, but he knew that he had to accept what the Father wanted. And it was the virtue of humility that allowed him to put himself in that position. We think that humility is going to humiliate us. And when a kid's going to unload on us like this, an adult child, it can feel humiliating at some point. But if you are really praying through it, Lord, help me have a holy humility so I can reach my child's heart and bring healing to our relationship and bring you to her in the long run. Walk with me. Go before me. Send your angels before me and help me control my tongue and my reaction. Direct my words. That's a sense of holy humility that God's going to help you with.
And again, the name of the book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, would be a great way to follow up on this call. If you need more personal support, I'd encourage you to take advantage of the pastoral counseling services we offer through the Pastoral Solutions Institute. You can learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. I can name top five or six people that I'm working with now on the same issue. We're making a lot of great progress, but it takes approaching it from a very different angle than you're taking right now. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about anger and whether other people in situations are provoking you to anger in spite of yourself, or someone else is taking out their anger on you and you're not sure how to respond to that gracefully. We are here for you today. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11.
Buckle up, because this one hurts. Fools give vent to all their anger, but the wise bide their time and control it. Anybody want to put up their hand for that? Because everybody just has got called a fool. There's nobody who hasn't given vent to their anger at some point.
I've been there.
We all have.
Here's what we should not take from this scripture, okay? Because you read this, and what most people think is, oh, so God's saying don't get angry.
Yeah, just swallow it all and contain it till I explode.
That is not what this verse says.
Let's be angry again.
Right? The wise bide their time and control it. Not repress it. Mm-hmm. Not deny it. Not pretend everything's fine, not slap a smiley face on it. They bide their time and control it, whereas fools give vent to all their anger. This is exactly what we were talking about through the whole show. Anger is not a call to action. It is a call to prayer. You know, some injustice happens, we see it, we get angry about it, and we can either be a fool and just give vent to it, or we can be wise and bide our time and bring it to God and say, okay, Lord, I've seen this thing, I'm angry about it, I don't know what to do about it. Teach me how to respond to this situation. Teach me how to respond to my anger in a way that will allow me to be my best self, in a way that will invite the other person to be their best selves, and that will work for the good of our relationship. And then you reflect on that, and you let that be your prayer until you come up with some kind of a plan that would allow you to approach that other person respectfully and charitably, and then you move forward. You don't repress your anger, you don't deny it, you don't pretend everything's okay. As Christians, we're called to cooperate with grace to set the world right, to build the kingdom, to undo the damage that sin does to our relationships especially. But in order to do that, we need to bide our time. And like the wise person in this in verse from Proverbs, bring it to God and ask him to teach us how to deal with it. Let's talk about anger. Your anger in particular, or the anger of someone you care about who keeps taking it out on you. We want to help you find peaceful, grace-filled solutions to how all the ways that anger is complicating your life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls right after the break.
This is Brian Howell, Operations Manager of Salt and Light Radio in Idaho. Thanks to Catholic Radio, lives have been changed, marriages have been saved, and people have found their way into the church. When you're looking for messages of peace, hope, and love, you'll find them right here.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Does everyone go to heaven?
The Christian Church had a clear position on this issue through the centuries, and it was not that everyone is saved.
Why would a loving God send anyone to hell?
In heaven, it isn't that all of our questions will suddenly be answered. It's as we will realize that there was never any question at all.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries are pleased to present this roundtable discussion on universalism. Dr. Michael McClyman.
The prophets all emphasized the importance of choice and consequences of choices.
Al Cresta.
And he said, enter through the narrow gate. Why is the path to destruction?
And Ralph Martin.
Why would you bother to help another person come to know Christ and believe in him and repent if you think that in the end we're all going to be saved?
Provide clear reasons why the presumption that all are saved is radically inconsistent with Scripture and church teaching.
Hardly anybody knows what the official teaching of the Catholic Church is.
Universalism. Not Christian, not universal. Find it on the homepage of the Ave Maria Radio website, avemariaradio.net.
Ave Maria Mutual Funds does not invest in companies engaged in abortion, pornography, embryonic stem cell research, and those making corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Ave Maria Mutual Funds has a zero-tolerance policy that helps ensure investments align with moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds may be contacted at 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at avemariafunds.com, a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about anger, whether yours or others. If you're looking for graceful ways to deal with the anger that's complicating your life, give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Diana, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Diana, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hey, thank you so much. Good morning. I have a quick question. Yeah, and it comes with it's about anger or relationships, and it has to be with my husband and I. And I actually took Catholic counseling before with him, and we quit for a while just because finances and other things came in place. But we got married and all these, and I'm always been trying to take your advices in account and not to react, but it's hard because. I just give you an example, like we tend not yelling all the time, but we tend to not be patient with each other on that. So he believes I'm demanding, and I believe he's a little bit on the other side, like very relaxed with him. So let's say last night he asked for food. There was my mom helped us a lot. She's always helping us with the kids and even food and in the house. When we come home, there's food sometimes. Sometimes she doesn't do it, but it's okay because she helps me a lot anyway. And so there was not much something he liked, and he started, being upset about that. Like, I buy food, there's no food, things like that. And I said, well, I serve you a plate, something, whatever we have in there. Anyway, he made a whole deal out of that, and then I got upset, and I just don't know. It's many years like this, and I don't know.
So here's what I'm picking up from what you're saying. Yeah, so here's the problem that I'm picking up on. All right, all of this is happening on the fly, right? And it's all being dealt with impulsively, right? As opposed to intentionally, right? So a healthy couple is going to see, okay, we have, for example, the dinner thing that you mentioned, right? We've had conflict around meals, and in particular, whether mom's going to make a meal today. Or what she's going to make, kind of managing those expectations. So in a healthy relationship, you'd talk about that ahead of time, right? And you'd have some way to communicate that with each other. So maybe you'd either all talk about, hey, how are we going to get dinner, done today? Is mom going to make that? Or am I making that? Are you making that? What are we going to have? And you either come up with a meal plan in advance, or you come up with that even the morning of and talk about it, or throughout the day, you kind of just check in with by text. You know it's going to be a problem, potentially, so you address it ahead of time, right? And you come up with a solution for it. You guys are just flying through the day and getting irritated about stuff as it comes up and kind of off-gassing at each other.
And in fact, part of the reason that any family who's taking it on the fly gets more irritated is because suddenly we're putting all this extra pressure on ourselves to figure it out right here, right now. Our brains just don't work that way. And then suddenly we feel like we have to take everybody's, feelings into account. We just get flooded by the whole thing. But when we make that plan ahead of time, when we have those discussions ahead of time and come to an agreement, that's less likely, far less likely to happen.
So that's my first suggestion, is identify the things that you've been fussing at each other about and try to make time to talk about them before they happen. If you can't do that, then go ahead and, you have your fussing thing and then you calm down. Make sure you bring it up afterward and say, hey, look, that was really rough. I didn't like the way that went. Let's talk about how we could handle a similar situation better the next time it comes up. Like, I don't want to refight the dinner thing, okay? I want to talk about how we can handle this better the next time it comes up. What do we need to do? Right? So whatever that is, whatever the situation is, if it's a parenting thing, if it's a money thing, it doesn't matter. You get through the fuss, and you come back to it and say, hey, I don't want to refight that thing, but I want to talk about how we could handle that better the next time it would come up. All right, we talk about this strategy in how to heal your marriage and nurture lasting love. You know, you mentioned counseling. I do recommend that you get back to it when you can afford it. But in the meantime, how to heal your marriage and nurture lasting love, take a look at the chapter on conflict, caretaking and conflict, and the other chapters on self-regulation as well. I think will be really helpful for you for overcoming this. This is not an uncommon problem. It's relatively easy to fix. You just have to be more intentional about how you're approaching the things that are irritating you. With that, let's take our next caller.
We're talking with Matthew, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
And St. Gabriel Radio. Hey, Matthew, welcome to More to Life. What's up?
I'm trying to find a way to operate. My spouse gets angry, and she snaps at the smallest things, and I don't know how to operate. I'm at my wit's end. I'm trying to walk on eggshells.
So your typical response is to try to avoid getting her angry, and that's actually not going to work. It's going to actually make it worse in time, because what ends up happening is that you're not showing her or helping her find a healthier way to approach her anger, and she's not going to self-correct because what she's doing is working in a weird sort of way. You know, the reason that anger is so addictive is it makes everybody afraid to approach us, and so more often than not, we end up getting our way, even though we end up hating ourselves for it. And that's kind of what's happening with your wife here. So, Matthew, your job as a man of God here is to, number one, affirm your wife's right to be upset. And you know, the things that she's upset about, don't try to talk her out of it. Don't try to talk her down. Don't tell her to calm down. Right?
Yeah, whatever you do.
Yeah. But you can say, but you need to redirect that anger as well. And hold up boundaries that kind of force her to deal with that anger in appropriate ways. Instead of walking on eggshells, I need you to be strong, and I need you to stand up and say, listen, honey, I love you, and I am so sorry that you're upset right now. I am so sorry that you're frustrated, whether it's with me or with the kids or whoever. I get it. You know, we let you down. You're angry. You're upset. You're frustrated. You have every right to feel that way, but you don't have a right to express it like this. And I am happy to talk about this with you. Whenever you're ready to talk about it respectfully and appropriately and work with me to find answers, but I'm not going to allow you to speak to me or the kids or whoever this way, because you're better than that and you deserve better than that. And I love you too much to let you get away with that. So can we talk about this like grown-ups right now, or do you need some time to calm down and we'll bring it back up again? And then if she takes that, now she's going to lose it on you at first, okay?
That's okay. Doesn't mean you did anything wrong. That's just her go-to reaction.
And you're going to need to say, honey, you just repeat it. It's broken record. I get it. You're upset. You're frustrated with me. You're angry. You don't know what to do about it. I totally understand. And I'm happy to talk about this with you when we can talk about it respectfully and kindly and lovingly. I'm here for you. But I'm not going to do it like this. And then let's say she goes away and she comes back and she wants to pretend it never happened. You bring it back up and say, you know what, honey, I love you too much to move on from this. You're upset about thus and such, and we need to finish this conversation before we can move on. So what is it that you're trying to say to me? Let's talk about this respectfully and lovingly, because I want to help you find solutions for this. So the point is, you're affirming the right that she has to be upset about things. You're acknowledging that there are things that need to be dealt with, and that you're letting her know that you want to talk about it. But you're setting a very clear boundary on the way to talk about it, right? So it's perfectly fine that people get upset, but it's not okay that they just give vent to their anger however they want. And it's your job as that godly husband in there to stand up and say, "This, let's talk about a healthy way to deal with these things." And if she's not able to do that, then it's time to get some marital counseling. If she won't go to marital counseling, you go to marital counseling yourself to start learning how to be strong enough to set those boundaries that will create a structure that requires her to deal with that anger appropriately. Because what she's trying to do right now is like the old Kool-Aid Man commercials, burst through your back wall when she gets angry, just to tear the whole thing down. And you need to be standing in that space, reinforcing that wall and not letting her break through the wall, but instead holding open the front door and saying, honey, I would love for you to walk in and have this conversation. But you got to walk in the front door like a human being, not through the back door.
Honestly, Matthew, you will end up being her hero if you do this. When somebody is in that angry, bullying place all the time. They're so dysregulated. Inside, they feel like a child just tantruming, and it doesn't feel good, even if they get their way. In the long run, it doesn't feel good because they're not being their best self. But if our spouse can come and lovingly say, no, 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 I'm going to help you be your best self. You're worth more than this. Then you're the strong, loving person who's shown her the way to be that, and she will end up being appreciative in the long run.
But the more you do what you're doing, which is walking on eggshells and try to avoid getting her angry in the first place or stay out of her way when she gets angry, the more she's going to hate herself and the more she's going to hate you.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're really saying is, I'm not strong enough to you're not strong enough, honey, to handle your emotions, and I'm not either. And
then that little kid part of her gets more terrified and angrier.
So this is the only way out, Matthew. And the good news is it works. It's hard, but you can do it. And if you need the support to do it, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll get you there. To hook you up with our Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice and walk you through this step-by-step about how to be that godly man who is letting your wife have her feelings and be upset about the things that she needs to be upset about, but express that in appropriate ways that allow you to find solutions. CatholicCounselors.com. And folks, thanks so much for tuning in today. If there's more we can do to support you in dealing with anger and the angry people in your life, check out the resources we have at CatholicCounselors.com. And remember to get out there and celebrate the life that God has for you. Because you know what? With His grace, there really is so much more to life. Have a blessed day, and thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.